All right, Perek Chav Beis. So we had a little bit of a break. Was it Yom HaTzmaut last week? That was the break. Anyway, but the week before, which is the only time we've been able to meet since Pesach, we were discussing the incredible reward for learning Torah and learning Torah on a high level and learning Torah Lishma. So now, Rechayim Elazar turns his attention to the other side of the glass half empty, which is a little bit more depressing, but it's the flip side, and it's important to know. You know, it's nice to always talk about Avos Hashem, but sometimes we got to talk about Yiras Hashem too, and it's always good to talk about V'Hayim Shemoah, but it's also important sometimes to talk about the flip side. If we don't listen, on a motivational level, that can sometimes be more impactful, and more importantly, just conceptually and philosophically, you put the two together, and that really gives you the clear picture of the point you're making, in this case, the importance of learning. So says Rav Chaim Volozhiner as follows. Im chas v'shalom, anachnu oskim ba berifyon. Right, this is like a contrast. Again, we've had the break, so it's harder to keep the momentum, but this is a direct contrast to what he'd been talking about previously, where people are learning basmara, and they're learning, shtark, and they're into it. So that was all the good stuff. So now he says, but if on the other hand, they're involved. Berifyon, it's weak, it's weak. You know, how shall we say, between Purim and Pesach. Okay? Now, that was not a shot at this yeshiva. That's a shot at all yeshivas. Kavayachol mismaye shefa ha'or ha'elyon b'chol ha'olamot kol echad l'fiyarko. So we have a lot of intertwining between, as we've seen throughout the whole Shar Dalet, between the impact on the person and the impact on the metaphysics of Chaim Volozhiner, right? And we had seen how he has this, very complex metaphysical scheme of life about how Torah is on the highest of the high, and based on how we're learning, we're like, pedaling and making the engine go, and then that brings down shefa to the whole world. So again, you can't understand this line if you hadn't done anything else in Shar Dalet, but this fits into the whole scheme. So he says, if that's the case, if somebody takes, didn't take their foot completely off the pedal, but instead of pedaling, 20 kilometers an hour, all of a sudden now it's, I'll pedal for 5, then I'll brake, and then I'll do a little bit, and I'll coast. All of a sudden, it's not just, we'll have to get to the impact you have on yourself, but first and foremost, if Torah is the energy source which is powering the whole world, so if you take your foot off the pedal, so then everything, all of a sudden the lights start flickering. All of a sudden you don't have good range. Hello, do you hear me? All of a sudden, the kav is a little bit broken. Again, Hakol Fierko, obviously every person is different. Not everyone was contributing equally beforehand, and not everyone is going, all of a sudden getting weaker is not going to be the same for you as it is for me. But the point is, proportional to what you were or could be contributing, proportional to how much you're taking your foot off the gas, that's going to impact not only you, it's going to impact the whole world. Ubamistarium tifka nafshi, that's actually nafsho, he says, but that's really the word. The pasuk originally was nafshi. Yisparach kaviyachol, the Gemara Chagiga quotes, based on this pasuk, this idea that there's an idea that God cries in his hidden or private places. And the Gemara Chagiga explains that gimul hakadosh baruch hu bocha aleim, there are three different types of people that God kaviyachol cries for. And one of them, v'choshev chad minhon, one of the people that Hashem cries for, as al misha efsho la'asok b'torah, ve'eno osek. Rav Schechter always likes to point out that the opposite is also true. Right? Not everyone should go into chinuch. The one who shouldn't have been in Torah, and it is. A bad rabbi can be just as damaging as someone who missed the opportunity to make a difference in the world. But that's not our topic. But in this topic, says the Gemara, it's a very, very powerful metaphor. If a person could have been involved in learning, and Rav Chaim Volozhiner is saying it's not a black and white, it's not a zero-sum game, it's not all or nothing. You could have been involved in learning on some level. And how do I know that? Maybe because you once were. And now all of a sudden you've taken your foot off the gas. So that's the kind of person that a person will cry for. V'chein amru sham, furthermore Chazal say there, gimel demos halo lama, v'kad amri achazal b'datorah. Again, another way of getting to the same point, one of the opinions is, if a drasha that Hashem cries three different tears, one of them is for this idea of biltil Torah. V'oy lonu labein hamori dima'ot aviv b'chol yom. Right? This may be one of the more powerful lines in the whole Nefesh HaChaim, in my opinion. Again, if you have a little bit of an emotional sensitivity, especially you're all sons, and hopefully one day you'll all be fathers, this is a really powerful image he's describing. Oy lonu, the child who makes his father cry. Right? Again, any of us, I don't know all of you, and different people have different complex relationships with their parents, but if you have even a remotely healthy, remotely normal, remotely loving relationship with your parent, right, especially as you go, when you're younger, you don't care about these things so much, or you don't even notice them. But as you get older, if you think about, can you imagine if you did something that brought your parents so much frustration, so much angst that they were crying over something you did? Not over crying, God forbid, something happened to you, that's not your fault. Come on, let's not someone get sick and their parents are crying over them. That's sad, but that's, you wouldn't blame yourself, so to speak. But if you did something, you got in trouble, you did something wrong, you made a life choice that caused them so much pain. That's enough to break your heart in its own right if you have a loving relationship with your parents. Right now, again, not our topic, but the flip side, of course, is that parents shouldn't be so manipulative and so controlling. Any little decision that they don't like, they start crying over. Right? That, I would say, is unhealthy parenting. But a healthy parent, you know, would not cry unless it was something really objectively bad and problematic and extreme. And if you were to do something like that, that would really be, you know, to me, it would be like, I couldn't even live with myself. I couldn't even imagine it. Thank God, as far as I know, I never had. But still, if I would, I mean, even the thought of it. So that's the image that Chaim V'Lazar says, that really comes out of the Gemara. It says, if you are had ability to be learning more than you are and you're not, you're causing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to cry. You need to think about that. If Inyan Zos HaBachiya, who now he tries to, like, take, you know, anthropomorphize. What does that mean, God's tears? So he tries to explain on a metaphysical level, what does that mean? God's tears mean Hitgabrut HaDin. So somehow it's kind of like a stop. In other words, if you know, usually when there's this or that, you know, you're, again, your feet are on the pedals and you're pedaling with your learning Torah and you're powering the whole power system of the universe. So that's allowing more or, more rachamim, more love, more good things in the world. By you taking your foot off the gas, God is quote unquote crying as if to say you're stopping up, if you will, the tzinorot. That allow the or slash rachamim and memela. Again, I don't know if it means he's actively like sending like lightning bolts of din, or just more the absence of the or, the absence of the rachamim and memela. There's din. Again, this is above my pay grade, this kind of stuff. But again, he's trying to like put something more concrete on it. But again, I understand why he's trying to do that. For me personally, it can't get any more powerful than oylanu leben hamori demos aviv b'chol yom. I mean, it's just I would be sick with myself. Maybe I should therefore be sick with myself, because I could think about probably every day how much I'm bottling. So, and batola here again, this is not our topic now, but it's obviously a very reasonable and important topic, which is not everything you do that's not Talmud Torah is called batola. Like the obvious point being, you have to like eat and sleep. And you have to daven, but even other things might not necessarily be batala. But the bottom line is, I could say for myself, and I assume I'm not the only one, there is definitely some batala every day, and maybe more than there used to be, unfortunately. So, you know, this is something that really, the more you take it to heart, hopefully the more you can tighten up, so to speak, one's own schedule. Next paragraph. Ha'adam, sh'adayin lo ra or ha'torah miyamav, lo asak ba mi'olam. So he switches gears for a second. If I remember correctly, I think he's going to switch back to the person who was learning who stops, which is both better and worse. But here he talks about the person who was never exposed to Torah, never really learned. So it says, Reb Chaim V'Lazar, again, it's not about fair. I mean, it doesn't sound so fair, but it's from his perspective, it's just, you know, the rules of the universe. It's not about so much fair or not fair. It's just facts. And facts are, says Reb Chaim V'Lazar, if you're not connected to Torah, whatever he's calling this Kedusha Elyona or Nefesh Tahora, it's inaccessible to you. There's a certain dimension of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a certain dimension of spiritual enlightenment, which cannot be substituted with anything other than Talmud Torah. It may not be your fault, but it doesn't matter. If you don't have the connection to that, you're not going to get the benefits of what Talmud Torah would otherwise provide. As it says in the Hakdama to the Zohar, here we go, our first, but don't worry, not our last, the Zohar. Pekuda Chamisha. Again, I didn't look up the Zohar inside, so I don't know what the first four mitzvos are. But he says, the mitzvah number five is, B'haikra, Isba, Tulas, Pekudin, Chad, Lamalin, Lasot, B'daraisa. Again, I didn't even look it up, so I don't know which pasuk he's quoting. From this pasuk, you see three different mitzvos. The first one is, and that's the fifth in this broader list, to be Osek in Talmud Torah. The Kad Barnash, Lot Asek, B'araisa. Any person who's not involved in Torah, Leslei, Nafsha, Kadisha. Does not have this holy soul, which he had just quoted before. Kedusha di'ila lo sharia elo. So basically, that's just the original Aramaic in the Zohar, where Chaim V'Lazar had already paraphrased at the beginning of the paragraph, that without Torah, you cannot access these higher things, the higher Kedusha, and the pure whole soul. Now he goes back, as I said before, now he goes back to a person who was learning, but then stopped. The gamhu mushulach veneza. I'm sorry, I take it back. My bad. I think we're going to get to that later. Yeah, that's the next paragraph. Okay, sorry. He's continuing. The person who's never been connected to learning. Gamhu. So not only does he not have all this extra light, gamhu mushulach veneza chas shalom lekochos hadin shal sitra achar shiu yicholim lishlot alav. Memela, again, it's not about fair, just about metzius. Let's imagine it like a certain like force shield, or it's like a, you know, protective, you know, uniform, or like the superhero has, or something like that. Right? It's not only that memela you don't have that bulletproof vest, and you don't have that spiritual uniform that only Torah can give. It's therefore also, because of that, you live in a dangerous place. Right? There are all sorts of kochos and all sorts of things going on in the world, and you're simply going to be vulnerable, memela. So it's not just that you're lacking the good of the extra Torah, kedusha, light, etc., but memela, you're therefore vulnerable to the bad forces that are in the world. As it says in here, now we just have a Gemara. That sounds pretty metaphysical, but that's actually in a Gemara. Sech the brachos, taf hayam and aleph. Shkomish efshar lo lasik, b'torv ein osik. And again, here's a good point, one could ask, and I don't have an answer, what would he say about a person who was eino yochel lasok? At least, again, the previous Zohar didn't seem to make a difference one way or the other, but what's it called? But at least in this Gemara, you can be medayik that this is, you know, there's certain blame on the person because he could have been osik and wasn't. But nevertheless, that point is a fair ha'ara. That's a little bit different, I think, than the Zohar. But that notwithstanding, what does the Gemara say about such a person? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mevi alav yesurin, mechu'arin v'ochrin oso. Hashem will bring upon him, you know, terrible punishments and pain, and he'll become increasingly foul or gross. Shinemar, as the Pasuk says, Hecheshesi mitov ukevi neakar. Person says, you know, I've been silenced from the good, and my pains, my ke'ev, have become ugly. It's a bad situation. He's going to lose a lot of good opportunities. Again, here you see not only from himself, Reb Chaim Volozhiner is adding l'shitato, not only what he's missing opportunities for himself, but he's not brought this kedusha into the world. Ki echriya chas hashalom es atzmo ves kol ha'olam. Right, he's tipping the scales of the whole world, in the wrong direction. Now, again, in the scheme of the way Reb Chaim Volozhiner is presenting this, this is part of his whole metaphysical, it's almost like this Rube Goldberg machine. In other words, you do your Torah, and that hits this thing, which hits this thing, and you know, there's this huge flow that eventually hits the bottom that benefits the whole world. But again, basic ideas that he's clearly, sensationalizing and metaphor, metaphysicizing, if that's a word. But more basic, prosaic concepts of this that are very similar to this. I mean, you have, just to take one example, just that we usually would not think of in the same medical physical way, is, the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvos speaks about how you have to think of the whole world, as being 50-50, and everything you do could tip the scales. So again, I don't read that Rambam and necessarily imagine the whole scheme that Reb Chaim Volozhiner has been talking about a lot in Shaar HaDalet. I don't think you have to go... the Rambam doesn't presuppose Reb Chaim Volozhiner. But on the other hand, there are elements of Reb Chaim Volozhiner that are not so radical, or they're not so metaphysical any more than the basic Rambam, which is that, again, we can't understand it. Fair enough, but there is this idea that we're not only responsible for ourselves, right? We're responsible for the whole world, and we're impacted, right? It's not only up to us, right? You could be, I don't know who it was, but somebody probably yesterday had an incredible game, and his team still lost, right? And again, on the other hand, if you have an incredible game, there's a good chance you might help your team win, right? So yes, it's true. It's also good. You look like an all-star. You get a big contract if you have good stats, and it also helps your team win. So if you do the mitzvos and you learn Torah, so it's good for you, and it impacts the world. And similarly, if other people aren't doing what they are doing, then you'll benefit, right? So even if you have an off game, but if your team does well, you win anyway. But it's also true that if you don't do, that's bad for you, and it's bad for the team. So that's a concept which is pretty mainstream. You don't need Reb Chaim Volozhiner for that. He's just adding a lot of this extra metaphysical kind of, shefa and the, coming from high, whatever. We don't need to repeat everything we've done in a lot of these prakim, but I'm just pointing out that layer, even if one person, thought that's a little too much, too rational, you can't handle all that, don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. There's a lot, the idea of the interconnectedness and mutual responsibility and the impact that one person has on another. I don't know if I could totally explain that on a global level, on a purely rational level. But even so, that's Rambam, that's Gemara, that's that is very, very mainstream. And by the way, you say mainstream in Hebrew. Mainstream. Right. Okay. So I learned that from my kids. Anyway, it's one of my favorite Hebrew words. Okay.
It's on the Malad Dabim yeshiva shirt that they put out.
Oh yeah. Okay. So it makes sense.
That's mainstream of that.
Oh, that's so funny. So my son-in-law is a Boger Malad Dabim. So he, and then my son Yosef, who's your age, he's Shir Bet age, he just went to the army. He's from Yerucham, and that's Mamish, like their Degel. We're the real Gush. We're the real mainstream. Over the years, Gush has gone too much this way, but Yerucham, in my drusha, my Shabbos drusha this past week, my son happened to be home for Shabbos from the army, so I asked a certain question, and I said, the answer is clearly, gam v'gam. And I noticed that in the corner of my eye, he had a big smile, so at lunch he said to me, he was so excited, because that's the favorite phrase in all of Yerucham, gam v'gam. It's dialectical, it's both true, gam v'gam. Anyway, so even if you are a little bit mainstream, you don't have to take everything of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. I have no position on who is or isn't mainstream. No one pointed me to judge. But even if you are, if you consider yourself more mainstream, and Reb Chaim Volozhiner, therefore, in certain ways, is a little bit, too metaphysical or mystical for you, but some of this stuff is very, very basic, even if we don't understand it. Okay? Weiter. So then he quotes the Dvarim Rabbah in Parsha Dalet, Shimuna va'al tigbuhu. Right, that's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Shimu, I don't know why I added the word na. Shimu va'al tigbo. Listen and don't be haughty. Shimu l'divrei Torah. So the Medrash says this is an allusion to you have to listen to Torah. Al tigbihu, al tagbihu, asatovim milavol olam. So there's kind of a play on words. Not, I don't know exactly how. I didn't look into the mafarshim of the Medrash. I don't know how tigbihu becomes tagbihu, tigbu, but haughty becomes somehow stopping up. But again, this is a medrash, which again is very fitting in with the Reb Chaim Volozhiner scheme, that there's this kind of shefa that's trying to come down from above, and if you're clogging up the drain, it won't be able to come down. Chemon mru perakamba de baba basra, tafches, he pronas boli olam, ella bishvil ameha aretz. Right? Again, if you're not learning, again, you could look at this, again, you have to see, I don't know what the Mefarshim and the Gemara say, but one could look at it as schar va'onesh, but certainly you don't have to in Reb Chaim Volozhiner scheme. In other words, if you don't flood the engine with gas, it doesn't make a difference. You need a certain energy source. And if the people aren't learning, the mamela, you don't get the energy source, you don't get the good stuff. So again, this idea is really, really powerful. Here you see, again, the connectedness of the whole world. If there's any pronus anywhere, on you, your country, or anywhere else, or I'm sorry, even if it's far away from you, you should know it could be that it's caused by you, and you're not learning. Okay? So this is obviously very, very extreme. But it's not more extreme than we saw in previous weeks when the extreme there was for the good and for the reward and the schar and the power. Here it's just, you know, it's zelu mazeh. So now he switches a little bit and he talks about Nebuchadnezzar. So the good news in certain sense is that the last few paragraphs aren't related to any of us because Baruch Hashem, we've been zochet to learn Torah. We've been exposed to Torah. And even talking with someone who never had exposure to Torah. However, now he talks to something that could be closer to home and therefore a little bit more frightening. Im kvar asak bei, a person had a chance to learn. Baruch Hashem, he was exposed and he did learn. Uperash yimena chas hashalom. But now he stopped learning. Again, it's hard to know, exactly what he means, and he could be referring to any one of a number of situations. Does perish chas hashalom mean because I had to get married and therefore I don't have time to work? I had to go to college and therefore I had no time to learn, as much time to learn. Or does he mean no? I like went off the derech, you know, or I just stopped learning, you know, in a way that's inexcusable. You know, I guess it might be any one of those or all of them. I'm not sure. But Lamaisa, his words he uses are, a person who was learning and now has stopped. So there, it's not just like we're weaker, right? Because if someone never learned, so there was never the input of the spiritual energy, and therefore the whole system was at a lower voltage. But if you were learning, so now because of you, right? You and me, because of you, the voltage of the whole metaphysical system was at a certain number. It was at a certain strength, and we get used to, you know, the system got used to it. When you stop, that's much worse than if you had never started. If you never started, then we had a certain equilibrium. But now that we were, you know, all of a sudden the engine is going really, really fast and things are moving, and all of a sudden you take out a little bit of your gas, now it's the whole thing's out of whack. That's actually, on some level, worse. It's mitzkalkel, it's mitbalbel, kol sidrei olamos. The gavra yada sitra achra, k'mon al-tzan. Now you've given an opening for the sitra achra to come in, of kav yachol malchli shumachshich koch ha-kadush al-yonar shechina ha-sazom emunas Yisrael, ha-shochen ha-sazochenu tamil al-dei esek ha-tor kar-ra-ui. Right? Now, the only thing that really I could understand is that word kav yachol. Even Reb Chaim Volozhiner was self-aware enough, he realized like how over the top that last line and a half is, which is why he added the word kav yachol. But he basically says, you know, you are not only taking away the Kedusha and the Shechina and da-da-da-da-da from the world, he talks about how you are even somehow impacting Hashem and his ability to be Shochein in the world. And it's all because, you know, you were learning and then you stopped. Now, where did, like almost like many of the good or powerful ideas in the Sefer, where did he get it from? The Zohar. Now we have a big section of Zohar that'll take us, not most, but a good part of the rest of the chapter. So he says in the Zohar, it's in Parshas Truma, Patech Rabbi Chiya v'Omar, Eis Lasos Hashem, Heferu Sarasecha. Right? Sometimes there are certain things we got to do for Hashem. Sometimes even, so to speak, Heferu Tarasecha, even somehow breaking the Torah. Now again, we're familiar with this concept more halakhically. It's a very rare and extreme examples. You know, Bitula Hizu Kiyuma. Somehow we can break the Torah in order to mekayim it. But the Zohar is not necessarily looking for that interpretation, but rather it's the Zohar. V'chozimno daraisa miskayma ba'alma. When any time the Torah is in the world and people are learning it, Kavyachol kochabrichu chade beuvde yado chadi ba'almin kulan. Hashem is very happy. He's geshmak, right? It's like that parent who comes to the sitter party and his child gets a nice award or has the leading role in Shiria or got a big award at graduation, right? It's very, very geshmak for a parent to go to something and see their child singled out. He's very nice, and Hashem is very happy with his people when he sees them learning Torah. Ushmaya v'aria kame bekemusa, and right in the whole world, everything, the equilibrium of the heavens, of the earth, everything is going well when people are learning. However, Ubashata Yisrael is battling Maraisa, right? Cue mood music of scary, things have changed, and all of a sudden people stop learning. Kavyachol Toshash Chele. All of a sudden, as it were, Hashem's strength is weakened. And as a result, Ukedain, and that's when we say, Eis Lasos Hashem. Inu Be'amo de Tzadika, the Ishtarun, Isluhun Lachagra Charetzin Elmevin Oven de Karshan. All of a sudden, if we see that other people have, so to speak, stopped or lowered their learning, and that is weakening what is happening, as a result, other people, so to speak, have to, buckle up and try to do more to compensate. Begin the kucha brichu hu yiskatev behutz b'tzadika, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be strengthened by these tzadikim who kind of step into the breach, right? It's like, they say, like Lahavdil, this is like Elif Avdolos, but like, LeBron James is like old now, but so he can't like be amazing every minute. So what do? He watches the beginning of the game to see like how the other players on his team are doing. Like, when they're doing great, he can see a chilled game. And when he sees that they need it, they're not having as great a game, he steps in. So that's Lahavdil of Avdolos. He says, like, the tzaddikim, they see what's going on, and they see, the rest of the people have let them down, and they're not doing it. So then they say, we need our A game today. We can't take today. We were A minus, we need to be A plus, right? Begin Hefer Tarsacha, because there's other people who are not keeping the Torah. They're Hefiru. Because people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. Hachi bizmanad Yisrael mishtadlin baraisa hoes. However, at the time when people are osik b'torah, then the emuna and things in the world are very good. They're b'tikuno umeskashta b'shleimusa katkayos, and the whole world is, so to speak, clothed in shleimus or whatever exactly that means. Karaui, it's the world's way it's supposed to be. But if we're mevato from the Torah, who ace lab yud bekenusa, then everything's something off in the whole universe. For shtaka b'shleimusa v'lebenora, the shleimus and the light of the world are not what they're supposed to be, and therefore ace lasos, etc. Again, then he just kind of repeats the idea. But if you just skip to the end of the Zohar, if you're in the book, it's on the next page, at least mine. But it's at the end of the Zohar. He says, again, the Hefer Tarsecha, begin to Isbatlu Yisrael Letata Mid Pitke Mi'araisa, begin to Hu Ace Achik Yuma, that at the time when the people are being Mizvatal from the Torah, as a result, O Salka O Naksa, begin Hu in the Yisrael. As a result, basically, when the Torah is being learned or not, either the world is going up or going down. Either it's Mis'alis or it's Naksa, it's going down based on begin Hu, because of Yisrael. So the whole metaphysical status of the whole world is going to go up or go down because of, again, and this is more or less what he had said before, just here you have the Zohar, which was his basis. So now he sums up and he paraphrases in a very powerful way. So he adds one little knech, which again, it's not really a chiddush based on things we already know, but it just, to me, it's like more oomph and more insult to injury, which is, if in this scenario we're rachok from the Torah, the Mimela, what are we rachok from also? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Misrachi mi menu. And that's based on the Zohar, which we've seen already earlier, which is, of course, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah are one. So Mimela, if you're distant from Torah, you're also distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki kusha b'richu hu, v'orai sachad kanal, as we've seen previously. Again, this is the flip side of things that we've spoken about in other contexts, something that comes up a lot of times when I interview 12th graders. I'm giving them a dumbed down version of it, but here we've seen this a lot in a lot of the chapters in Rechayim Veloshin, right? That the way we can on a human level as much as possible get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through learning. So Memela, again, we don't think of it in these terms. It's easy, like most things in Judaism, right? And this is, I've spoken about this in another context, right? And the rabbis are sometimes as much, if not more, to fault about this, which is that we speak about Torah, Halacha, Yiddishkeit, all euphemisms, but we don't talk about Hashem. Right, he's just what is it in the Wizard of Oz? He's the wizard behind the curtain, right? So it's a problem. So said Rechaim Lozner, it's good that I give you the whole thing about Bittul Torah and Bittul Torah and weakening Torah and not being part of Torah, but you have to understand what that means. It's not just that you're far from Torah and you're from the energy and the life sources. It's like, it's like your eyes just gloss over sometimes when you hear these things. No, you're fine. Just like you're going to get closer to Hashem by learning, that means if you're not learning, you're getting farther away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Let's see if we can do a little bit more. Let's skip the next. Let's skip the next paragraph. Basically, again, just another idea that the more you protect the Torah, the more the Torah will protect you. There's a few little paragraphs. Ki yadua gam ma'amaram, the Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Samach Aleph, that when the Kol Kol Yaakov bebeit Kenesios, but the judges, when we're learning in the Shul in the Beis Medrash, and Yodav shall Esav Sholtos, you know, then enemies, again, the bad things won't happen. When the world's running the way it's supposed to, there's a certain shmira the Torah provides. Again, we're not here to discuss whether you therefore sure shouldn't go to the army, but you can believe that you should go to the army, and still that Torah and mitzvot can provide protection, just like learning the Torah can help you be healthy if you still go to the doctor. Right? It doesn't have to be a stira. Right? We invented this thing called either or, which is like a silly thing. Gam v'gam! Okay? Next. But again, it's not only gam the army. You know, still, even if you go to the army, you have to remember the gam the Torah part. That's also a problem that we sometimes forget that. Let's just skip down. We'll do one last paragraph. You see what it says, V'amru sham od. Matzinu sheviter HaKadosh Baruch Hu al avodazara gilei raya sheshichas damim v'lovitar al ma'asta shel Torah. So this, with all of this, we can sort of explain a wild, wild medrash. The medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can somehow, as it were, forgive even the worst of averos, gilei raya sheshichas damim avodazara, but Hashem can never forgive lo viter if someone rejects Torah. Shenemar alma of the Aretz, this is the famous Gemara in Nedarim, where they asked the Navi Yirmiya, how come the Eretz Yisrael was barren in Golos? And the answer HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Navi is, al-azam Estarasi. So the Medrash, you know, really fleshes this out in very extreme ways, that you can be forgiven for everything, but not Talmud Torah. So how do you understand that? It's a very extreme statement, obviously. But at least with the Chaim V'Lusher's scheme, we understand it a little better. That is to say, it's one thing if you did something bad. So you can get forgiven for doing something bad. You did a sin, you can get punished, you can do tshuva. But Torah is not just a mitzvah which can get reward or punishment. Torah is the power of the whole world. So, like, you get a, it's not about forgiveness. Like, there's just no spiritual energy. The car is empty. I forgive you. Right, it's a thing. Like a person, I feel bad. I did tshuva. Therefore, I don't want. You can't do tshuva for diabetes, right? You need to get on, you know, insulin. You need to don't stop eating. I once in Chavi of Alfi Abdullah, in a certain context, I was giving a speech over Pesach. Is tshuva possible for abusers? That's what you mean by abusers. What I mean by tshuva. But if you're talking about someone who's really a sick person. So tshuva is totally. Tshuva, it's as relevant to saying, can somebody do tshuva to get rid of diabetes? I don't mean by miraculous ones. I mean al derech hateva. It's not even the right word. If a person has a certain sickness, a certain mental or otherwise sickness, tshuva is not the right term. Right? So here also, basically what Lahavdil, this is what Rav Chaim V'Lusher is saying. If you're not learning Torah, so it's not about tshuva or not. I can forgive. I can find ways to give you forgiveness for the other, the big aveira. But not learning Torah, that's just an aveira. You pulled out the energy from the whole universe. I can't make that not happen. Okay, shikayach.
All right, if you're just regularly sick.